Well, good evening, Radiant Women. We are so glad that you are with us. Happy Thursday. We're excited for our service tonight, our monthly Thrive service. And as you can tell, I am not here alone. My name is Catherine Hanley. I am joined by Kathy Grigg. Miss Kathy, how are you tonight?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm good.
Excited.
I'm excited. Tell them why I'm excited. We're excited because we have an amazing guest speaker tonight, and we're so happy to be able to connect with you virtually. So we just want to get through a couple of announcements, and then we'll get you on to the Word. It's going to be amazing. So first of all, we want to let you know that, as you can see, this is not a Tuesday night. This is a Thursday night. That's right. And that's because our monthly Thrive services are now moving to the second Thursday of the month rather than the second Tuesday of the month. And the reason being is just that it's going to help us reach more women in our church, more different groups of women, and make sure that as many people as possible have the ability to come to our services every month. So make sure you mark your calendar. Second Thursday of the month is going to be our monthly Thrive services. We're going to start right at 7 p.m. each Thursday night, and it's going to be a powerful time as we gather together as women, as sisters, and come together around the Word of God.
But until the end, because we are virtual, we want to make sure that you're aware we have Facebook and Instagram groups, and that information you'll find on the screen. So if you're not already a point, we really want to ask you to join those groups so that you keep up to date with the Word that we're passing on to you.
Yeah, and so do you want to tell them, we just have a couple groups. We have tons of groups for you to be a part of. A couple we wanted to highlight to you tonight. So Ms. Kathy, you want to tell them about those?
Yeah, there's two we want to highlight, and that's because they're still continuing to meet on almost a weekly basis, and that's Get Back Up. And again, you'll find that information on your screen. This is a group for those who may have lost a loved one, you're overcoming addictions, or you're just finding it really a struggle to get back up. And so that's hosted by Terry Bailey. So again, the information's on the screen. If you're not a part of that, we want to invite you to join it. And then the second group is our Women's Bible Study, and that meets every second and fourth Tuesday and currently is through Facebook Live. And again, the information's on your screen, and that covers a multitude of topics. If you've not been able to join because of the time, now you'll be able to hear those messages.
That's right. So we're excited for you to be a part of everything that we're doing together as women. And I want to invite you, before we move on to the offering, I just want to let you know we are doing a giveaway tonight. Yes. Even though we can't be with you in person, we still want to do our giveaways. So if you will like, comment, or share this post, if you're watching on Facebook, that will get you three chances to win. We're going to be giving away some product from our WordWorks bookstore, and it's going to be awesome. So you want to make sure you like this post, share it with a friend, comment below, and let us know you're watching, and we'll be able to get that product into your hands.
All right. Who's ready for offering time? I know you guys are, and I have a great word for you. And it came about from a little prayer time I had with the Father, and he was talking to me about, well, you know, our relationship, how do we talk to him? Are we still talking to him maybe as a small child or in a whiny voice or with uncertainty as if what we're asking might be too much? And so he led me to Genesis chapter 2, and this is starting with verse 19, and it's in the Hamash. And the reason being is there's something very important that you need to hear about this. So let me read the verse first, and then I'll explain. It says, "Now Hashem, God, had formed out of the ground every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call each one. And whatever the man called each living creature, that remained its name. And the man assigned names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But as for man, he did not find a helper corresponding to him." And so the beauty of the Hamash is it has some rabbinical writings of what some of the rabbis translate the meanings of the scripture. And so for this one, it talks about in that verse names. In the Torah's concept, a name is not simply a convenient convention, but it reflects the nature of each creature and its role in the total scheme of the universe. Thus, as we find over and over in the Torah, the names of people had a profound significance that expressed their mission. Adam had the power to recognize the essence of every animal and name it accordingly. So what the Lord was showing me is when we were redeemed by Christ, we were redeemed back to this point before Adam sinned, when he could tell the essence of something, the spirit of something. And so if you go to Hebrews chapter 10, and this is in verse 19, listen to this. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus, that redemption blood. And he welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm boldly and without hesitation. And it reminds me of when Pastor Terry was talking about how Jesus told the disciples to pray, that whole brand new concept of saying, heaven, you know, our Father. Our Father. That was a big thing for them to understand. They had a connection with the Father. But let's keep going. It says, for he was dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. We have open access to the Father, just as your children would come to you and ask of something, especially grown children, which I have. I would not expect my 28-year-old son to come and talk to me as a 5-year-old if he needed something. If I knew he was spending his money wisely, he wasn't being foolish with it, and he said, Mom, I'm a little bit short. Of course I would want to help him. And so we need to come with that kind of an attitude towards our Father when it comes to our giving. And think about, how are we asking for this? Do we know the essence? I have the example of Brother Copeland. There was that point in time in the ministry where he was $1 million short, and he's talked about this over and over. And he kept praying, Father, I need $1 million. Father, I need $1 million. And finally the Father said, no, you don't. And he goes, well, you could have fooled me. And the reason he said that was because obviously the bill is right there. He obviously needs the money. But the Father said, if I gave you that money, it would not solve your problem, because that's not the problem. That's not what you need. What you actually need is for the ministry to begin tithing. And so once he put that principle into effect, things turned around. And so for us, do we know the essence of our seed? When we're giving to the offering, do we have an idea of what we're seeding for? When a farmer plants corn, he knows that is corn seed he's planted in the ground. It's not watermelon seed. He knows the name of that seed. It's the very same principle for us. So when you approach the Father today in your giving, ask him, Father, how much would you like me to put into this offering tonight? And he's going to download that to you. I know in your spirit, you're sensing what that is. And so trust him, give in faith. It will not return void, but when you pray, pray from the standpoint of you are in right seating with him. You have that open presence to him. Nothing's blocking you, because the blood of Jesus and his body made the way for you. So if you are ready to give, there's two ways to give. One is to give online at emic.org/give, and then make sure you click on Radiant or Thrive. And then the other is text to give. And that number is 36609, the word Thrive, and then the dollar amount. And both of that information will be on your screen. Thanks so much for giving.
Well, ladies, it is my honor to introduce to you tonight our guest speaker, and that is Sarah Pearsons. Sarah is the wife of Jeremy Pearsons, who's the son of Pastors George and Terry, and they travel the world preaching the message of faith to the next generation. And they live in Colorado now, and she's coming to us from Colorado this evening to share the word of God, what the Lord's laid on her heart for the women of EMIC, and I am so excited. So take a look at what she has to share with us tonight.
It is my honor and joy and privilege to be able to bring you the word of God. And let's pray and let's get right into it. Father, we love you so much. We praise you and we thank you for being our good and faithful Father. We come before your word with reverence and joy. Lord, it is our delight to be with you, to be in your presence, to hear your word, to sit at your feet and receive all that you have for us. I'm asking you to give us clarity this morning, eyes that see and ears that hear and a heart that understands who Jesus is and who we are in him. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, King David, he's probably my favorite in the Bible. And all through the Psalms, he talks about his love for the sanctuary and his love for the house of God. And I want to read you some of those scriptures because it's my desire this morning to show you the God's heart for his house and his heart for the sanctuary. It's very important that we as a people and as a church, we come together with great honor and reverence for the sanctuary of God. Great awe, not a place that we just come to work or that we just go and do what we're supposed to do or just a place that we come to church. No, it's a place where we're hungry to not only hear the word of God, but then to experience his presence for ourselves, to have genuine encounters in his sanctuary. He even tells his people in Exodus, he says, remember to keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I'll read you a few of these about the sanctuary and how special it is to God. And also, when I say the house of God, I'm referring to the sanctuary. When I say the temple of God, I'm referring to his sanctuary. This is in 1 Chronicles. No, actually, I already read that one. Let's read Psalm 27. One thing I have desired of the Lord. One thing. That will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This is one of my favorites too. In Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. I thirst for you. With my whole being, I long for you. Because I have seen you in your sanctuary. I have beheld your power and your glory. How special is the sanctuary to our Father? It is so special that even after Jesus came and gave us a new and living way to come boldly before his presence and his throne, that we are now called the sanctuary of God. He says, do you not know, do you not understand that you are the temple of the living God and God's Spirit because of Jesus now dwells in you? You are a living sanctuary. Now, I don't want to jump to conclusions because this is how we're going to get to this in a few minutes. But I just want to tell you my heart for his house and our hearts for this house, that we would pick up, that God could change the course of our life to come here and to build his house. And it's because we love, reverence, honor the sanctuary of God. Now, the amazing thing is there's such a blessing attached to your perspective of his sanctuary, how you view his things, how you see his things, how you honor him in these things. You know, even Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, that's the blessing of God being added to us because of our love for putting first the kingdom of God. That's the blessing on us. Another scripture that I love, Psalm 84:4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. That means live, make their home here. Call this place precious, for they will still be praising you. They're continually praising you. Why? Because of the blessing that's flowing down to them from your sanctuary, from being planted in the house of God. Psalm chapter 1 talks about being planted in the house of God by rivers of living water. There is life that flows from the sanctuary of God. There is life that comes from being in his presence, from loving his things, from being connected to the source at his sanctuary. And I want to read this to you, a passage of scripture that I've been studying along these lines. And this is in Ezekiel chapter 47, and it is a beautiful picture of the life of God that flows from his sanctuary. And I just want to start in the verse 1 and just move through the chapter and look at the revelation that is in this chapter. It is so powerful. Verse 1 says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. So think about the temple or the sanctuary or the house of God. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Some translations say there was water gushing from out of the doors, okay? From out of the doors of the sanctuary. Now you've got to think about, this is a beautiful picture of the life of God that flows from the presence of God. And how there's a source for every good thing that we have in God, and why it's so important to be close to the temple. And it says that this water was flowing out from the temple. It was flowing, gushing out from under the doors of the temple. And if you think about how many places in Scripture that the Bible talks about living water and the water of life. I mean, Revelation chapter 22, you know, I should just read that to you and just hold your place there. I'm going to read this to you in Revelation. This is just a picture of the throne of God. So if you just want to close your eyes and imagine God's throne, think about this. Revelation 22, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Now, this is what's in heaven right now. A pure river of water, and it is flowing from the throne of God. So think about that as you're reading right here in Ezekiel. Go back to Ezekiel with me. In verse 2, it says, he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gateway that faces the east. And there was water running out of the right side. This is that river of life. And when the man went out to the east, with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. And you just have to think about that. You picture yourself wading out in the water. The water's coming up to your ankles. That water of life, that river that flows from God. Verse 4, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Isn't this a picture of the life of God? Maybe you've been young and you've just started walking with God and you're wading out in the water. Well, you just got to keep wading a little bit more. Keep on walking. Let it go a little bit farther. Let it go past your ankles up to your knees. And then it says, that he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. That means he's going deeper. He's going deeper into those healing waters. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Isn't this the beauty of our God? How his desire is just to overwhelm us and to overtake us. I wrote a song years ago, and it just says, thank you for loving me. Thank you for proving it every day. And there's the bridge of the song, and it says, it comes from Ephesians, but it talks about how wide, how deep, how high is the love of God. And to think about in this passage of Scripture, it's what's happening is the water and the love of God. And the life that's in God is starting to rise up, not just at his ankles anymore, not just at the knees, but up to the waist. And then it gets so high that you have to go swim in it. I'm believing that we are going to be so caught up in the rush of his love, be overwhelmed in the wave of his presence, that we would experience the width, the breadth, the length, the height of his love. And it's going to overtake us, and we're going to see his glory in the sanctuary. But let's keep reading. I'm getting a little carried away. Let's keep reading. It says right here, it says in verse 6, he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side of the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, the waters are healed. So we see these are healing waters that are flowing down from this temple, from this sanctuary, from this house of God. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. How important is it to be in the rush of His river, to be right there in His plan, to be in His perfect will? Everywhere the river flows, if you are in His presence, if you're on His path, everywhere the river flows, there is life. There is this healing, living water. And then it says in verse 9, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. Man, I'm excited to hear that because I know that I am living in the perfect will of God for my life. I know my babies are right in the center of God's will. And you know what you can be sure of? That there is a river of life flowing to you, and it will spring up into living water if you'll let it. But then it goes on to say that there will be a great multitude of fish. What is this a type of? This is just a picture of a multitude. That's multiplication. That is increase of every kind. That's prosperity of every side, on every side. Because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. If you're dealing with sickness in your body, a terminal diagnosis of some kind, it is time to get yourself over into the life of God and let that river of life wash over you. If you are in God's perfect plan for your life, if you're following God, then dive in deeper, dive into the Word of God, which the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, it will wash over you. There's a washing that happens when you get into the Word of God. That's another picture of the river, the life of God, the water of God flowing to you and through you. And I love this. It says in verse 10, it shall be that fishermen will stand by it in Engedi, in Englaim. There will be places for spreading their nets. That means just like you see Jesus telling them to just throw out your nets. Bring in the harvest. That means there's healing and life and prosperity in this river where God flows. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be the same kinds of fish for the great sea, exceedingly many. That's increase on every side. But then it says this in verse 11, but its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. That's places outside of the boundary lines of the will of God for your life. That's being outside of the presence of God. That means separating yourself from the things of God. These things will not be healed, it says. In verse 12, I love this. Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. And then it says this, they will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. How important is it for us to count special the sanctuary of God, to reverence His things and hold them dear to our heart, to serve God with all our heart, to go after Him, to go after His presence, to desire Him, to long for Him, to be thirsty for Him. Now, I know that because of Jesus, we've been filled and our thirst has been quenched. But man, think about it. You want your heart to desire Him and to long to be in His presence. There's something that happens in this sanctuary that doesn't happen in your bedroom by yourself. There's something that happens when you get with your people, the tribe God has called you to be with. There's something that happens. And it's God coming in and making His home here. It's Him setting up His home and His throne on us. Glory to God. That's a powerful thought. And we need to be expecting and getting excited and prepared for what He's going to do here. As I was praying about this, I started to think about the source that comes from the sanctuary, the source of satisfaction in your life and then those around you when they have made their home in that sanctuary. Think about it in this passage of scripture. This water, it started, this water of life, this healing life, it started in the sanctuary. That sanctuary was the source. And what is that just a picture of? God Himself and His presence being your source for everything that you need in life. I looked up what a source is. I'm going to ask you this question. What is a source? Who is your source? What does it mean for something to be your source? And the definition of that is it's the point or the place in which something originates. The point or the place in which something originates. It's also, the definition could be the beginning or place of origin of a stream or a river, which is what we're talking about here. And I love how in this passage that it says that the water began gushing out of the temple. What is that? That's just an overwhelming surge of God filling up His people, not stopping at the ankle, not stopping at the knee. He will come and He will overtake your whole being if you will let Him, if you want Him, if you want Him enough. And I've started to think about what it means for something to be your source. You know, God, the Bible says, is a jealous God. And His desire is for us to look to Him and for Him to be the source of everything we have in life. Now, a lot of people may think, well, of course, I know what you're talking about. You're saying that He should be your source of supply. Well, yeah, I'm talking about that. It's really important that God is the only one we look to provide for us financially, to provide everything we need for us in life. Super important that we look to Him as our source and we don't look to anybody else to meet our needs. God is my source of supplies. He may have a lot of different channels and a lot of different streams that may flow from that source to get His provision to me. It may be a one area of income that He brings it into me. Babe, He may have many channels, but He is the only source. He is my only source. And you think about this in so many areas of life, people don't think and realize that He should also be our source of love, our source of validation, our source of acceptance. Do you look to Him as your source for everything in your life? Or are you putting pressure on people to fill a void that you haven't found in Him? He should also be, well, I'll say it like this. The Lord told me this phrase. He said, if you make people your source, you are limited by what they can do for you. If you make people your source, you are limited by only what they can do for you. I'm telling you what, I have way too many dreams for there's no way a man or a woman could provide those things for me. He may use people to bring it to me, but He is my only source. I have way too much vision. Way too much. My sights are way too lofty to even think that a man or a woman could do for me what God can do for me. Is God your source of healing? Do you look to Him, first of all, or do you look for all the answers on Google? Who is your source for healing? You know, another big one is who is your source for identity? Who do you look to tell you who you are? Do you look to social media? Do you look to your friends? Do you look to your husband or your wife? Do you expect them to show you who you are? Well, I just wanted to read to you what I do every morning. I start my day making God my source. He is my source, the source of my identity. I have found myself. And I found myself in Christ. I don't find myself in my staff. I don't find myself in how many people come to this church. I haven't found myself in who I'm married to, that I'm married to Jeremy. He doesn't make me who I am. The only one who says who I am is what I found in the Word of God. And I just thought I'd read these to you. This is actually not even a part of my message, but I thought I'll read these to you and we can post them. If you want them, you can write in the ministry and we'll send them to you. But if you're a child of God, you should know who you are. And if you have found your identity in God, then you've got it made. Okay, because life gets a lot easier when you stop putting pressure on other people to fill a void that only God can fill. So I wrote this, these are my confessions for in the morning. And I just ask myself, and I'll ask you this question, child of God, do you know who you are? Do you know who your identity is in? This is what the scripture says about you. You were bought with a price. You were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You were adopted into the family of God. You are greatly desired and you are beautiful to Him. You are His special treasure. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's handiwork. You are precious in His sight. You are more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are redeemed from the curse. You are the blessed of the Lord, happy and to be envied. You are healed by His stripes. You have a shield surrounding you. Therefore, no weapon against you will prosper. You have God on the inside, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You are protected by His angels every day in every way. You were created for His pleasure, for His purpose, and for His glory. You were consecrated and set apart for His work. You are royalty, handpicked for your generation. You have been made a king and a priest unto your God. You are His witness and His servant. You are anointed and you're appointed to bear fruit. And you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, there are many more of these that you could confess over your life. I got all of these straight from Scripture. And I have them all cited on here. If you'd like to have a copy of this, we'll send you one. Just email us. But there are so many Scriptures all through the Word that tell you who you are. And you've got to go to the source, the Word of God, to find out who you are. And you've got to meditate on it. And you've got to speak it over your life. But if you want that river of life flowing through you, you've got to go to the source. That is God Himself for everything you need. Say this with me. Just sitting in your house right now. Say this with me. God is my source. He is my source of supply. Father, You are my source of love and acceptance. You are my source, and my identity is in You. You are my source for everything I need. Physically, materially, You are the source of my healing. You are the source of my life. All of my life flows from You. Flows from Your presence. Flows from Your sanctuary. You are my source, Lord. And you know, when you start thinking like this, you do. You stop putting pressure on people and you start looking to God for everything. You don't put expectation on people to be or to do something for you, but you rely on Him for everything. You know, ladies, you don't have to make your husband your source. You don't have to look to him to even provide for you. You can go to God and like Psalm chapter 37 talks about, He will give you the secret petitions of your heart. I think about this. This is a source. Is He the source of your confidence? Is He the source of every open door in your life? Did you know you don't even have to go to a man or a woman or expect for them to open a door for you? You know, I've seen God move in my life. At Joshua chapter 1, I love this. It talks about how no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That means no man will be able to stop the call of God on your life. What this thing, this life that you have in God, it's between you and Him. You and Him. Sometimes I tell people, you've got to get your own God. You can't look to mama or daddy or Mimi or papa. You can't make them your source. You have got to go to God for everything. If you're having marriage problems right now, if you're dealing with hard situations, you've got to go to God. Get in your prayer closet. Begin to pray and look to Him as your source. God will move on your spouse. Man, prayer is a powerful, powerful thing. I'm believing with you that today you've gotten a revelation that God is your source for everything in this life, that you've, for something is stirred in your heart for the house of God and for all the things that are just ahead. We're just building a foundation right now. God is our source. His presence is our source. We're looking to him. And as we get over into that river of life, that he'll just pour out his supply. He'll pour out his provision. There'll be increase on every side for you. And let's pray today. Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for your word that is life and health and medicine to us. We thank you for those rivers of living water that are flowing to us when we don't even always realize it, that you're keeping us alive, that you're making us alive. We thank you that the same spirit that dwells in you dwells in us. It quickens our mortal bodies. I pray over every single person here that needs healing, every person in this church, I'm asking you to just pour out your spirit, your presence, the flow, the washing of that water, just to rush over them and just begin to fill up, that they would just begin to sense it all the way from the bottom of their feet, all the way where they just begin to swim in it. I'm asking you to do a good and a quick work to speed up the healing process. Oh, you are so good, Jesus. We love you. We thank you for your rivers of living water that are flowing to us and flowing through us. We ask you to make us a sanctuary this week where we would bring life to every person we encounter, that we bring joy and love and peace, that we'd be able to give when you tell us to give, whatever we can do to be a sanctuary. We thank you for making us that sanctuary, and our desire is to live and be that for your glory in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, what a powerful word that was. We want to thank you so much again for joining us tonight. We know that even though we can't be with you in person, where there's no time or distance in the spirit. So we're thankful that we could all be together tonight virtually. And we want to remind you, be sure to stay connected on all of our social media accounts, on Facebook, Instagram. You can stay connected with us for upcoming events, announcements, and daily encouragement. And so we want to remind you, go ahead. Don't forget, we're doing a giveaway this week. So if you like, comment, or share this on Facebook, you're going to enter for a chance to win some free product from WordWorks Bookstore. And we're so excited to get that into your hands.
Absolutely. And until then, don't forget, we have the EMIC Drive-In Church this Sunday. We have the pre-drive-in show at 9:30 Central Standard Time, okay? And then we have the regular Sunday service at 10 a.m. We have restrooms. There's no excuse not to be there. We look forward to seeing you at the drive-in.
Yes, so until then, remember that we love you, and that God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.